Follow me. John 1:43, the following day Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." It would have been an amazing thing to have someone come up to you and say those words and for you to actually follow him, right? And these people, as they started to collectively come together, it was because of John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Jesus even said that you believe, he told Nathanael, "You believe in me because I saw you, was it Nathanael, I think it was, under the fig tree." And he also said that you believe in me because of John the Baptist. And so these people come together and they said, "Come, we found the ones that Moses wrote about. We found the one we've been looking for." So see, the reason these men found Jesus, because he came to them, the answer is right there. I just said it. They were looking for him. They were looking for him. And so if Jesus was here and this had been us and he said, "Follow me," and Larry and I have had this conversation, it was always a little joke. This is "follow me to the tent," right? You give up everything you have, you pitch a tent in somebody's backyard with a Bible, and that's all you got in the world. Because the Scripture says that they gave up everything to follow him. You ever wondered what they actually gave up? I mean, when you don't put a lot of thought into it, you think they gave up everything. Everything. They walked away from their boats, they walked away from their family, they walked away from everything they knew and followed him. So what did they actually forsake by following Jesus? Actually, this is going to look at what they did not forsake to follow Jesus. When he said, "Follow me," I want to show you what they did not give up to follow Jesus. Matthew 4:18-20. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And so it says, they immediately left their nets and followed him. So it sounded like that they had this is how they made money for themselves and for their family. And Jesus come up to them and said, "Follow me," and they just dropped their nets and they took off after him. How did they make money? How did they provide for their family? I mean, did Jesus want them just to walk away and not pay attention to anything that they had prior to life that they had before meeting him? Do you think as becoming a Christian that God wants you to forsake everything that you've ever known and just blindly wander around? No, I mean, it doesn't even make any sense. But yet it says they immediately left their nets and they followed him. And this makes it sound like that they dropped everything in their life included, and they followed Jesus. If you look at the same account in Luke 5:11, it actually says they forsook all. So that's one thing that people, when they become Christians, they think that they have to give up who they are. They have to give up everything that they have for the sake of Christ. And a lot of people don't want to give up some of the things that they have. Do you really think that God expects you to be on a mature level when you just become a Christian? A baby has a diaper on, right? I'm talking about a baby that's nursing, and they go to the bathroom on themselves, and they just are okay with that. You know, it doesn't seem to bother them. I mean, it does after a little while because maybe it starts to burn and irritate, but for the most part, it doesn't bother them. And you would think, how do you do this to yourself, man? You know, as soon as you did it, wouldn't you be like, you know, "Change me, change me, But they don't. Jesus does not expect us to be at a state of maturity when we first become a Christian. And so when we respond to the gospel, he's not asking you to get rid of everything that you know in your life, even though Scripture says that they forsook all. We'll show you what they did not give up, and in the end, we're going to see what they actually did give up. Mark 1:29 through 30. And if you look at this account, this is after they started following Jesus. They saw some of Jesus' miracles. So this was after, and this was after John the Baptist had been put in prison. So these people had already encountered the follow me part. So this is something they did not give up after they started following. Okay? I'm just trying to give you a little time frame here of where this followed. This was after John the Baptist was put in prison. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogues, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with fever, and they told him about her at once. Did you see anything about that passage that would, if they forsook all? There's Peter's mother-in-law laying sick. And they go back to the house to heal her. After they had left all to follow Jesus, we still see Simon Peter married, and his house was still intact. You would think that when he said, "Follow me," and they forsook all and they dropped their nets, that they just left everything. They didn't leave their family. Peter's house was still intact because they went back because the mother-in-law got sick. How long had the mother-in-law been sick? My point is that it's when he said, "Follow me," she probably wasn't sick then. So how did he know? If he'd have walked away, do you think Peter's wife would have said, "Can you come home even though you've left and don't want anything to do with us? Will you come home and take a look at your mother-in-law and ask your God that you're following? Huh? To help my mother-in-law? Help your mother-in-law?" No. She got sick, reached out to Peter, and Jesus came. And this wasn't just for Peter. If you look at John 20:10, this was after the resurrection. And it says, "Then the disciples went away again to their own home." My point is that God is not asking you to walk away from your family. These people's houses were still intact. Their life at home was still intact. When he said, "Follow me," and they forsook all, I kind of thought it sounded like they just walked away from everything, right? 1 Corinthians 9:5. "Do we have no right to take along a believing wife as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas?" When the other passage was made in Mark, this was before the resurrection. When Jesus came to Peter's house and healed his mother-in-law. This statement is made after the resurrection, written to the church. Paul's saying, "Don't I have a right to take my wife along?" I mean, he wasn't married, but he says, "Don't I have a right to do this?" Do you ever see in Scripture anywhere where any of these people brought along their believing wife? But they did. Evidence here shows that he says, "Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles?" My point is that this household was still intact, honoring the Lord. But it said they forsook all, and they left, and they followed Jesus. Paul shows us that this continued into the church age. Peter kept his wife and his family. Well, that's a far cry from the tent we talked about that you'd have to pitch because you followed Jesus, because it comes down to nobody wants to listen and all you have is a place to lay your head, and the place is for that is on the Bible because that's about all you got. Because I'm telling you, if you're sitting in a chair reading the Bible, the devil will try to take that chair from you. You can't take that Bible out of your hands. Only you can put that down. So, I mean, this is encouraging, right? Here was the apostles, and their family was still intact. God does not want us to walk away from our family. And you say, "Well, I'm not walking away from my family," but I tell you, here's what will happen. And Larry and I had talked about this in the past of a lot of things that Do you know that we can grow past those that are with us? You know what happens to those that are with us that we've grew past and we're so excited and we keep moving forward? We leave them behind. God doesn't want us to do that. God doesn't want us to do that. So when he says that their family was still intact, don't forget, and we've said this before, that the biggest evangelical field that we have, the biggest fight that we have, is not out there. It's right here. It's right here. God wants us to first hold this together. Because what happens to the ministry if your family falls apart? What happens? Chances are, and we know ourselves, chances are there'll be no ministry, right? Luke 5:3. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Y'all catch that? Remember what he told Peter when he came upon him and it said that they dropped their nets and they left because they were fishermen? He says, I'll make you fisher of men. They put down their nets and they walked away. This boat that Jesus taught from, guess whose it was? Yeah, it's what it says right there. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. It's pretty amazing. I mean, I can feel the hair on my arm stand up. He didn't even walk away from his boat. And the Scripture says that he forsook these things and walked away. But he didn't even walk away from his boat. Peter's boat was used as a teaching platform for Jesus. Do you know that? It says right there that he got in Peter's boat and began to teach. And you know, the majority of Jesus' ministry was around the Sea of Galilee. So there was a lot of boats involved, a lot of water. And there was even times when Jesus said, because of the multitude coming at him, that he prepared a boat to get into in case they tried to crush him. It's like concerts, right? Where people would trample one another to try to get to the singer because he was so popular. This was Jesus at one time. He was a rock star, right? He was standing there by the water and he was preaching and people just couldn't get enough of him. And he even had to get out into the boat and go out into the water and they had to... And he preached from there. You know, in many other scriptures referencing the ministry of Jesus, you will see the boat mentioned. Now, I don't have proof that that was Peter's boat, but I do have proof that it was right here during his ministry. And if you do a little research, some theologians suggest that the boat that they were in when Jesus was sleeping and they were about ready to be capsized, that was Peter's boat. And when he asked, when he walked out, he says, if you're the Son of God, he said, you command me to walk on the water. And he said, come on out here. And that was Peter in his boat. Maybe. I wouldn't argue the fact, but I will argue that his boat, Peter's boat, was used as a teaching platform for Jesus. That's pretty amazing when you would think that God has asked you to drop everything in your life, but yet we still see his family intact and we still see Peter's boat being used. Why? These things were important to Peter. One day Jesus was going to die and raise, but he wasn't always going to be there in the way that he was now. And so Peter had to sustain life at some point in this world, right? We don't get a free pass from going to work. God, I wish we did, but we don't. We still have to work and we still have to minister, don't we? We still have to reach out. You still got to go to school. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you get to stay home. You go to school and work. John 21:3. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." Then they said to him, "We are going with you." And so they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. John 21:3. This was a long way past. This was a long way past. Follow me. And here we see Peter, what? Getting back in his boat, going out and fishing. Paul even said that he was a tent maker, and there was at times that he had to fall back on that to make a living so he wouldn't be a burden to the church. Why? Because he needed things. You know, he needed to eat. He needed a place to stay. He needed somewhere to wash his clothes. I mean, I don't know what all they did, you know, but he needed money for stuff. And if he didn't have any money and he come to your house knocking on your door, guess who was paying for it? Yeah, nobody wants to see them kind of guests, right? They show up, though. God understands that we have a life to live. He says with the married, he says that there are times when the married man must attend to the wife and the wife must attend to the husband. And you know what this takes away from? It doesn't take away from anything, but in actuality, it diverts their attention from their service to God. But God is showing you that that is part of your service. Do you think that He wants me, because I'm in the ministry, to abandon my wife or not care about her needs? No, not at all. Peter walked on water, but in this life he began to sink. And that's what would happen to all of us if we went all in one way. You have... Huh? Yeah. I'm off balance. I'll start going this way one time and stumble. I'm off balance. I can't balance. I knew a preacher, and he was the man that saved my life. And you know what he did? When his son was playing sports, or his daughter was playing sports, do you know where he was? He was in the ministry. And I've known people who have children that are in sports, my own household, okay, that they followed the sports. We are one. And there are times when our attention seems that it gets diverted, and it shouldn't be, or it should be. Did the guy who did not go to his son's games or his daughter's games, did they do the right thing? Did he do the right thing? Y'all just mentioned the word balance. I think that it was okay sometimes and sometimes not. The struggle I had in my own house. I was shown the way that God expected us to live a life. Prior to this, I was only thought that Jesus wanted to be recognized in our life. We have a life to live. And the answer is right there before your face. We want that life to be a life that is lived for Christ. Our family, our children, and ourselves. Right? Can you see that? The reason that Peter's household was still intact as he began to follow the Lord was why? Because his wife, a believing wife, remember that's what we just read in Corinthians? The wife followed the Lord. And they grew together. Now, I'm not saying that Peter certainly should have been above just about anybody. He was sitting there with Jesus being taught, and he was the one showing other people. But they grew together. It's not about where you are. It's about progressing and growing together. Simon Peter, here he returns to his boat. After the death and resurrection of Jesus, guess what Peter still has? He still has that boat. There was a teaching platform for Jesus. And that boat was also a way for him to make a living. So leaving all to follow Jesus did not mean to abandon his wife, to abandon his family obligations, to leave his house, or even to leave his boat. And so, when you're looking at this, you're thinking, okay, well then what did he leave? It said they left everything. What did he leave? What did he leave? What did he leave? If he didn't leave his family, he didn't leave his boat, what did he leave? A lot of good answers I'm hearing. You see, my house will be considered the Lord's house when all there are about the Lord's work. That's what I said a minute ago, right? So the reason he kept his household was because they did not stand in opposition to God. That house served the Lord. That house was behind the ministry that Peter picked up. And there was times that Peter was about the ministry, and there was times he had to be about his family. And as we grow and as we change, that balance changes. Because we have less obligation to do for our family because they are doing for themselves. Do you understand? It's not that we can't help, or we're not in charge of that anymore. Now they've got their own house. They've got their own family. And so our obligations now have shifted because the balance has changed. If we put as much time with our family as we did when they were little as they when they were older, the balance would be off. They don't need our help. Not in the way that they did when they were younger, right? So things change. But that house was about the Lord's work. My boat, my vehicle, Peter's boat, will be readily available for the Lord's work. Do you see? Peter fished from that boat. But there was times that he ministered from that boat. There was times that he sustained physical life from that boat because he fished, right? That was food. And then there was times that he spiritually sustained life from that boat. So if you have something in your life, it should be readily available for the Lord's work. You see this? That's why this stuff wasn't abandoned. Because just as Moses had to... If you ever wonder why Moses had a staff, right? The reason he had a staff is because he leaned on that staff for 40 years going through the desert. God didn't take the staff from him. God's not going to take your life from you if your life is involved in the ministry. And I'm not talking about that when I say the ministry, I'm talking about service to God. My house should not be in opposition to my ministry to the Lord. And if it is, then there becomes a problem. See, now you're starting to think, I might start seeing what they might have left. Matthew 10, 37 through 39 is my last scripture. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. We all have a life. We all have a job, except for those who are retired. Lucky y'all. But you still have a job. You don't just sit around. You've got things that you're doing. When our family and our boat and our mother-in-law, all of these things become more important to God, that we are going to cease our ministry for this, that becomes a problem. Let me tell you something. God did not have a problem when Jesus did not have a problem as God in the flesh when he went back to Peter's house and healed the mother-in-law, did he? So why would he make a statement like this? Because there are some people that said, and Scripture even verified this, Lord, I got things I got to take care of. I got to go bury my father. I got to do this and I got to do that. And he said, let the dead bury their dead. Follow me. You see where I'm getting at with this? The reason that he says this is because these weren't about the Lord's work. They wanted to hold on to their boat because they were making too much money. He says that when you start following this and not following me, he says you're leaving the wrong thing behind. Never had a problem with the family who followed Jesus. Because when Peter followed Jesus, the family followed Jesus. The problem becomes is when Peter followed Jesus and the family didn't, and he went back to the family. That becomes a problem. Jesus has already shown us that he did not have an issue with going back to the family that served God to heal the mother-in-law. You have to work out this part. I can't do that for you. Scripture has shown you the balance that we need to have. Scripture has shown us the dedication that we need to have. So that needs to be a line in the sand for you. You draw that line and you help the Lord. You work with the Lord to work that out. Because the most amazing thing happens is that if you have family in opposition, remember he said, wife, don't leave your unbelieving husband, for you don't know if you will save them. And he says, husband, don't leave your unbelieving wife, for you don't know whether if you will save them. You dedicate yourself to God. You dedicate your house and your priorities to God. And he'll work it out. Now that makes it sound like he's going to work it out for the good, right? But he shows you that sometimes it doesn't work out for the good. This is a tough place to be. I'm here to tell you, this is a tough place to be. But this is a lesson that God has shown us. He didn't have a problem with the stuff that was in their life. He had a problem with where their heart was and where their dedication was. Are you willing to forsake all who stand in opposition and follow Christ, even your own dreams? What Peter gave up was his self. What Peter gave up was the dedication that he had in the direction that he wanted to go. He didn't give up his life. He didn't give up his family. He gave up the direction that he wanted to go. And that's what Jesus asked him. It was right there before our face. You know what he said? Peter's going in this direction, right? And Jesus is going in this direction. What did Jesus say? Follow me. You see that? And Peter stopped going in the direction that he was going. He gave up everything in his life. He simply gave up the direction that he was going and he followed the Lord. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? That God doesn't expect you to live in a tent, doesn't expect you to live in the ground and eat bugs. He loves your family. He loves your dedication to your children. He loves the fact that you are willing to work for your family. Right? He loves these things. He supports these things. But these things must honor God in the same way that Peter was asked to honor God. You follow me. Let your house follow me. Let your money follow me. Let your time follow me. You see all of this? What he left behind was nothing. Empty dreams. And I could prove that because Peter fished and he wasn't a wealthy man. They went out and somewhere here, John 21:3 says they went out and they didn't catch anything. And then Jesus, so he wasn't such a great fisherman. What fisherman goes out who's fished all their life and doesn't catch anything? They catch something? Ask a fisherman. Well, they weren't biting really good. They still catch something, man. But then when Jesus got involved, what happened? They wheeled in so many fish that it almost sunk the boat. He didn't ask him to stop fishing. He says, you fish for me. And that's what he told him. You be fishers of men. You follow me. And he says, I'll help you catch souls. Your house follows me. I'll catch their souls. Your children follow me. I'll catch their souls. And Peter says, I'm into catching. I'm a fisherman. I can catch. I like to catch. Peter gave up the direction he was going, and he followed the Lord. It was right there before our very face, right? Follow me. Don't follow your heart. Don't follow your family. Don't follow yourself. You follow me. And then the decision was made that the house would follow him and the business would follow him. Why? Because we still see Peter fishing. But there was a time when Peter didn't fish and that boat was not used for fishing. And that boat was used for teaching. But the boat was still there. The problem comes in is that when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he preached to them and he showed them who they were. And the fact of the matter was is they really didn't want to give up who they were. Because not everyone accepted the teaching that was given on the day of Pentecost. Not everyone did. They weren't willing to follow Jesus. And that's what he was asking them to do, right? Do you understand? They followed the law. Excuse me. They followed the law. Do you know why they were there? It was Pentecost. Do you know what this was? This was a Jewish time for them to bring their lamb to sacrifice for their sins. And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it 3 weeks, 21 days? I think it was. I mean, I may be wrong on that. But it was right at the end. And he preached the gospel message. 50 days, thank you. My point is that when he said the same thing to the Jews, he said, follow Christ. You know what it meant they weren't going to follow anymore? The law. The law. Everyone that has made the decision or makes the decision to follow Christ will give up following something else. Is he worth it to give up what you're following? I can't make that decision. Peter couldn't make that decision. The only thing he could do was to tell you how to make that decision if you were willing to. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. Do you know that all Christ is asking? Now this is the beginning. That baptism is not the end, as a lot of people think. It is the beginning. It's when you become a Christian. And what He wants us to do is produce fruit of that Spirit. And fruit of that Spirit comes in many different ways. You know why? Because you have many different gifts. We all have different families. We all have different obligations. But God is able to work through those if everyone dedicates themselves to His service. Your boat, your vehicle, your house, your spouse, your dreams, your direction. Jesus said, follow me. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?